All right, guys, so here we are today. We're at Tipler's Tap at South Bank. They've got some really cool stuff down here, some self-pouring taps and stuff, but that's not why we're here. We're here to talk to Mick.
We are
definitely here to drink some beer. But we're here to talk to Mick about his new book coming out, which is pretty exciting. We're going to dig right in, but he's not just a book writer. He's also an author on one of Australia's best craft beer publications. So let's get into it.
Yeah, do it.
All righty. So, well, cheers, man, first off.
Cheers. Buddy.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into your book, your beer...
Yes.
Beer Drinker's Toolkit, which isn't for brewers, is it? It's like it is, and it can be.
Yep.
But it's for just people who want to learn more about beer.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's step all the way back.
Yep.
Crafty Pint.
Rewind.
Yep. Yeah, Crafty Pint. What's going on there? How long have you been with them?
I think I started with Crafty Bit in 2017. They put out a call for freelancers. At the time, I was writing a beer blog.
Yep.
I wanted to get into the beer industry. I didn't quite know how. I tried my hand at a few other things. I was a rep for a little bit. Wasn't very good at that. Didn't like it a lot. But I had this...
It's a special skill, isn't it, being a beer rep?
It is. It's hard work. But anyway, yeah, I was writing my blog, and I've got a background in writing, and I wanted to get into the beer industry. And then when they put out this call for freelancers, I was like, oh, Mick, you idiot. Beer writing. That's where you fit.
This is your thing.
Absolutely. So I threw my hat in the ring. James liked what I did.
Yep.
So I started writing bits and pieces there and then, and I've just been doing more and more ever since.
Yeah, nice.
Finding my place and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's grown immensely too. I was looking back at the history of Crafty Pint like a couple of weeks ago, actually. Yep. I was just scrolling back and looking at stuff and it's just grown leaps and bounds, hey?
Oh, look, it probably started with James like in his underwear on his couch.
Yeah.
You know, his little blog. 2010, I think.
And he'd love talking about that.
That's
the thing, isn't it? He would love
those photos of him. That'd be the stuff. Just grown and grown and grown. And now I think it's the biggest. It's gotten favourites craft beer website on that big cartel survey, I think, every year.
Yep.
Before, you know, the reason I was so stoked to write on it was because I used to read it all the time. I always loved that it's fun and doesn't take itself seriously in one sense, but so freaking comprehensive and just gets deep into
the beer scene. Because I really... In the craft beer scene, there's you guys and Brews News. Mm. And the great thing is that across the both of you, there's so different voices, different chats, and different perspectives. Brews News can cover so much like in-depth stuff.
Yeah, deep industry thing.
Whereas you guys cover a lot of other different stuff as well that, you know, to be fair, Matt probably would cover if he had time, but you guys are all busy. Like, everyone is so busy.
There's so much beer out there, so many breweries out there, so many brewers, so many people in the industry, so much going on and changing, trends, scandals, you know, you name it. Yeah. We can't cover everything we want to cover.
Yep.
We do what we can. We have a laugh while we're doing it. Mm. Yeah.
What do you want to do with a Crafty Pint? Are you happy doing what you're doing? Because if you Google Mick West, holy crap, there's like lines
there,
and stuff. There's a few bits there. I want to delve into something later, but
So James and Will, who are like two full-time writers, they're both from journalism backgrounds, and they are good. They are the new towns who are good at chasing down a story, getting all the details, getting all the quotes from people. My brain just will not do that to the same depth that they do. They are comprehensive. Yeah. They won't miss a thing. My brain just kind of clocks off partway through a story like that. Whereas when it's a, you know, an interview with someone where I'm like digging into their story and I can be creative about it.
Yep.
When I'm writing up a beer and I can write all kinds of crap that just kind of comes out of my head.
Yeah.
I love that. That's fun. That's colorful. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And so that's the stuff, sort of stuff I really shine at. The features, the beer descriptions, the listings, like where I describe different breweries.
I've noticed just recently, like the Fortitude Walks, like those articles that you've done, like the amount of beers in Fortitude, the Sunshine Coast breweries, which must have taken you like 3 weeks.
It's been a freaking while.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah.
How much is that? Like, you don't do that all in one day. Like, that's a collaborative effort that you go and you test, check around?
So like the Sunshine Coast is a good example because I did that one like from scratch recently.
Yep.
I went up there for two full weekends to do that. So that was 4 days.
Oh, wow.
Of like, I think I rocked up like 600 kilometers driving up and down the coast over 4 days.
Yeah, wow, okay.
It's kind of bonkers. Went to whatever it was, 20 or 25 different places.
Yep. And on a weekend too, which is so good traveling up the Sunny Coast on a weekend, isn't it?
Look, it was fun. Had a lot of good chats, tasted a lot of beers. I was driving so I couldn't drink too much beer, but I could taste a lot. And just seeing, because I actually don't surprisingly, I actually don't get out that much.
It's not surprising.
So much of my job is just sitting on my laptop, you know, in my little dungeon.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really cool getting out and about to so many places.
Yeah. Do people know you?
Sucking them in.
Like, do they see you? And it wasn't until you introduced yourself and you see that light go on in their brain and go, oh, that's who that name is.
That's what, very few people. Which is kind of always fun. Like, sometimes I've got to tell people what the Crafty Pint is.
Yeah, yeah.
Other times I know the Crafty Pint, but they don't know me.
You don't have to worry. We don't have any followers. So
we don't know who the Crafty Pint are anyway.
No one knows us.
I mean, half the time as well. Realistically, if it's bar staff who might not read that, they've got no idea, and that's fine. Like, a lot of time I'm not there. It's not a do you know who I am sort of thing. I actually just want to go in as
it
a punter.
It is for me. I know exactly what you mean. I just love the experience and new things and
absolutely. And I want to get a sense of, like, you know, what's the beer like, what's the food like, what's the area like, what's the vibe like. All of that you can get without, you know, asking any in-depth question to an owner or something. You just need to be there. And I like that.
Did your wife go with you? Because you're about to have your baby by the time this comes out.
Yes.
You will have had your baby.
Yeah, there'll be a little mix around. How funny is that?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It is going to be crazy. Thank you for reminding me of that. No, she didn't come. But my brother lives up the coast, so I stayed with him overnight both times, which is great to spend some time with him.
Yeah.
He and his little daughter came with me to a couple of breweries, and we had lunch and hung out a little bit.
It's hard to go on your own. Like, you can, and it's enjoyable, but when you're with someone else, it's always that little bit better, isn't it?
It is.
You can talk about something.
Any beer tastes better. Oh. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
When 100%. You're with people.
Yeah. What are you drinking? I forgot what I poured you.
The 7 Mile West Coast.
Oh, that's right.
IPA, which is a frigging great beer.
Yes.
I don't go back to too many core range beers just because there are so many beers that I drink for work and that.
Yep.
I've come back to this one a few times.
Yep.
I recently went on holidays. I just needed a 4-pack. I spotted this in the fridge down on the northern coast of New South Wales. I jumped on it because
such a banger beer, hey. Mm-hmm. I got the Soapbox. Mm. Yeah, the boys down at Soapbox, their new little dry Irish stout, which is tasty. Joel's going to have one later. He doesn't get a beer while he's filming because sometimes he does, but I would have got you one. I do have to thank too, massively thanks. So we got, we're going to do a video on this later for everyone, but this is the tipless tap card. So there's a self-pouring thing going on. That's what we use. Massive thanks to the guys for tipless tap because they gave us $50 to spend today. So
nice.
Massive shout out. If you're down in South Bank Way, definitely come down. Crafty Pint is really, really cool. That's your meat and veg.
Mm-hmm.
But your dessert is your book.
Yeah.
So you sat down, you wanted to write a book. Obviously, it was going to be about beer.
Obviously.
No,
the publisher actually approached me about it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they've read your writing on the Crafty Pint.
They were looking to do a book on beer, and they didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, but they knew they wanted a beer writer. I think they kind of checked in with a few different people.
Yep.
But they loved the way that I wrote. We sat down and chatted. After a chat, they were like, we think you're
right. He's a knowledgeable guru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't available at the time they first asked me, and the thing they first asked me to do, but then I sort of proposed this to them, and they loved the idea of the toolkit. Yeah, I told them, like, what this could be. Maybe there could be follow-up books that cover different drinks.
Yeah.
The idea of it being, like, fun and approachable, and they jumped on that.
Yeah, so. And so here it is here. This is available August 13th.
August 1st.
August 1st. So this is coming out after when it's available. So if you haven't got a copy, jump out and go one. I'm luckily, this isn't mine. This is mixed. You can see the edges are starting to get worn. He's pulling it out.
Frisbee it sometimes.
Just to show people everything. There's a whole lot of stuff in there, but I'm really excited because I know you and I saw when you put it up on your Facebook and I wanted the sign thing with a message.
Absolutely.
Has that been successful? Have you got a lot of pre-orders off a lot of people in the industry that you know?
Yeah, so
are you going to be having like boxes of books delivered to your house to be?
Absolutely. I just put in the order for a bunch yesterday.
Yep.
A bunch of friends and family, a bunch of people in the industry, some like brewery owners and bar owners and things buying some for their staff.
Yep.
It's been really great seeing people come out of the woodwork, people I went to school with who I haven't seen for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
You never know who's watching stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really cool because there is this great range of people who I know for a fact are beer nerds.
Yeah.
Anybody you have to put in their collection.
Trag would have got one.
Absolutely. people who know their beer, but they love still reading about it, talking about it, sharing about it. Down to people that I know, they like good pale ale.
Yep.
They don't know much about beer and they're keen to kind of start building their knowledge from the ground up.
It can be difficult, right? Like, for you and I, like, we've been in craft beer long time. We know all the different styles and what something should taste like and that, but for the non-craft beer drinker who's had, you know, their mates come over with a beer mm-hmm. that they love, which is could have been, you know, blueberry vanilla sour yep. or something, and their first taste of it coming from a VB or a Two Is New uh-huh. or something, is this thing that there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And that's, they need to break that down. And
absolutely. And even, you don't even have to go that weird. Like,
that's right. It could be that
basic,
IPA, right?
Basic things like, you know, the brewing process.
Yep.
I remember the first brewery tour I went on, they told you the whole brewing process. I walked out the end of that going, I have no freaking clue what just happened.
Yeah, like, I still don't know.
They explained it to me and I still don't know, because they're using like jargon words that they know they use every day. They're talking about the equipment, they're talking about loudering and sparging and, you know, freaking isomerizing.
Yeah.
That means something to all of them. It meant nothing to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea of explaining stuff to people in just normal human words has always appealed to me, but in all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took me 6, 8, 10 brewery tours before I kind of got the process.
Yep.
So I can now explain to someone in human words.
What a brewery.
I don't know if you've ever tried to explain to someone what a hazy IPA is. You've got to talk about the context of, right.
I have done, yeah.
IPAs, they kind of got a lot of hops and they used to be bitter, but they're not bitter anymore. And why are they hazy? Oh, it's because of the hop matter. Oh, but sometimes the yeast, some people put apple puree in them. Oh, but it's not about being hazy really. It's about being juicy. It's about the flavors. It's about the dry hopping. What's dry hopping? Oh, that's the opposite of wet hopping. No, it's got nothing to do with wet. You know, there's so much rubbish you can get into. And it's like, I'm talking about one style of beer that's everywhere.
Yeah.
Figuring out ways to describe that and explain that and just chat about it in normal ways rather than having this closely guarded secret.
Who did the editing? Like, how much self-editing was there? And like, oh man, I could waffle on about this. Like, because you could, right?
Oh, waffling
like,
is you could my write biggest
a,
downfall.
You could write a stout book
absolutely.
That thick and a hazy pale book, exactly as you said, that thick.
Like, look, I'll tell you something though. This book was meant to be that thick.
Yeah, right.
When I handed it in, it was that thick. and then we settled on this thing. I had to cut out like 20,000 words in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
After I first handed it in, because I went well over.
Yeah.
But with most things, the shorter the better. Or when you cut stuff out, you only make it better. And so when I could figure out, where have I said a whole bunch of stuff that maybe it's interesting, or at least to some people, but you don't need it all. And in fact, it's easier to digest when there's a bit less of it, a bit more streamlined.
Yeah. I read I was listening to a podcast about an author, and they were talking about like he wanted to write a book and he wasn't sure he wanted to write a book. He's a comedian and he decided, I'm going to write a book. And his editor said to him, keep this chapter short because it's going to be a toilet book. And he goes, I don't want it to be a toilet book. And he goes, but I just followed their advice and did it. Yep. And he goes, and so many people contact me going out, oh, I read this on the toilet. And he goes, that's what it is. They read like a small chapter on the toilet and put it aside. And he goes, I'm not sure how that is, but it's that kind of thing, right?
You can read one on the toilet. I'm not against that. But even, almost anything, it doesn't matter how good it is if no one gets through it, right?
Yeah.
If it's too long or it's too dense or too boring.
You don't want it to be June.
Whatever, it doesn't matter if there's, the gem on page 228 that no one ever gets to.
Yeah.
It does not matter how good that was.
Yeah, it's not like they're not going to skip to the end.
No. They won't even know it exists,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
on that, because I haven't even looked. Like I've opened a couple of pages, but I'm gonna
open up, swing it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty scared. I must be honest. I don't want
to. It's out of the way, so you're not.
Okay. Let's have a quick look at the contents. So it's broken down. So if you did want to flick through,
yes,
you could. You could find something that you want to go to and go. Oh yeah, pale ales, 79. Yeah. That's way past 79. Holy crap. So who did all your illustrations?
Oh yes, this great illustrator, the publisher had this illustrator called Ellie Grant, and she did a fantastic job. Her
look at that.
It's fun, right? she came up with a lot of really cool ideas like that. Her normal style is quite different to that. So when I first saw her style, I was like, oh, I'm not sure if that'll be right. Then she started getting in some of these and I went, oh, perfect.
She read some of your content and was able to ascertain what's needed.
Yeah, this great balance of, it's fun, it's light, it's illustrated, but it's not immature, it's not juvenile.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You've even got the brewing process in there.
Absolutely, right down.
Can be explained.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right down to, I think I wrote it as 2,000 words or something first, and I just cut it back.
Yeah.
I think it's 200 or something like that.
And how do you write it, obviously, because there's a whole lot of stuff in here that's cool little bits.
Yep.
Explaining all the styles, that's fine. But then you go back to like this bit.
Yep.
And that's like, was that a paragraph? Was that just bullet points and then they've illustrated it out like that?
Well, like I said, almost everything, like, was, because it was longer when I first wrote it, it was, you know, it was fat, it was a bit bloated. And so when you cut it back, you start to realise, right, what needs to be short and sharp and what needs to be longer paragraphs or a couple of pages. And so some things like, I think I explained what craft beer is probably over about 3 pages, whereas other things, you cut right down to a paragraph. You don't need the whole history of, you know, some kind of
Ryan Heitzker biting the wall off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you're writing this, it's like, no, people want to know what makes a dark beer a dark beer.
Yeah.
You keep that snappy.
Yep.
So there are parts where it seems almost obvious, this needs to be a bullet point.
Yeah.
And other parts where you're like, no, I think digging deeper into the history of this or explaining how yeast works, that's a real and interesting and enjoyable part of what beer is.
Yep.
Yeah.
How much more did you learn?
A fair bit. Like,
did you have to research any? Or is
I did research a lot.
Off the noggin.
And maybe part of that's imposter syndrome. You always think, you know, do I really know all this? Do I really, straight?
I better just check myself.
Absolutely. So I did a lot of research. A lot of stuff did obviously confirm what I already knew.
Yep.
I did have quite a big base to build on. But I did learn plenty of stuff, especially things around like the history of beer.
Yeah.
I dug into that and I learned like when beer sort of first showed up and who's been drinking it where for how long.
Yeah.
That was really fun. A lot of cool little like, stupid pub trivia kind of things.
Yep.
In there.
Do you talk about Handia?
No, what?
Handia.
Handia, what's that?
Oh, it's an Indian rice beer.
No,
it's like this old school beer that
Righto.
I read about. I love quirky historical beers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a weird ass beer style that they still do it.
Yeah, sure.
But
right, so no, I wrote about Sura. Which is a beer-like drink made from rice, mentioned in the Hindu texts, the Vedas, 1500 to 900 BC. So there's a bit of history trivia for you.
I don't know Sura. I wonder if that's in the Handia. But Handia again is a rice beer.
Yep.
And it's funny, like, it's only really been recently that CO2 in beer has been a thing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these beers were probably designed, to be drinking flat.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of what we can look at the history of beer and like where it started.
Yeah.
But if you drank one of those things today in a pint glass, it would not taste like.
Right?
You see like hieroglyphics of Egyptians drinking with big straws.
Yeah.
There's all this chunky crap at the bottom.
Oh, mate, I could not imagine what that would taste like.
So much of beer has been sour for most of history because the idea of keeping things sterilized, that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So much of beer has been smokier in the past because the way that you dry
before
and toast
pre-industrialization.
Malts and
Yeah.
It was like you cook it over a fire and it gets charred and smoky. It wasn't like until the 1700s or 1800s, the idea of like pale malts that can actually be regulated and eaten.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of pale ale is a relatively new one. And even that, 1700s, 1800s, what they'd call pale ale is not what we'd call pale ale.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it's quite fun looking back. You know, we can talk about the connection to the past.
Yep.
And yet seeing how beer has evolved and changed so much.
It's
pretty fun. Mm.
What's your favourite thing that you got to share in this book that you that you think maybe no one would know? Like that little nugget that you like. Oh, I can't wait for people to find that and go.
Maybe it's a bit up myself, but it's something that I talk about that I haven't really seen anyone else talk about much. Engaging all 5 senses when you drink beer. And I was really happy when I let Will from the Crafty Pint have a look at this, and he looked at it and said, "Oh yeah, you said some things that I've never really considered." Because we all talk about tasting notes and aroma and things like that. But putting it together with all 5 of your senses and like really meditating is a bit of a wanky word. But like just sitting with the beer for a second and actually stopping and thinking through how it's hitting each of your senses.
What am I getting here?
Yeah. And I talk about like listening to your beer, like listening to the stories it's got to tell, the stories you tell each other, you know, based on what your beer reminds you of or how the beer was made.
Yeah.
To me, like that's one of the funnest parts about beer.
Yeah.
There's always a story.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. Like even people who know beer well could read that, I think, and engage something really new and a new way to think about and talk about and engage about beer.
If you were to write another book, would it be another toolkit? Like, would you go to, if your publisher came to you, and it sounds like they might do.
Sounds like they already have.
Yeah. It kind of does. How do you write a follow-up? Do you go more in-depth? Is it the Advanced Beer Drinkers Toolkit? Is it the Beer Drinkers Toolkit 2.0?
Hypothetically, it could even be possible to write a toolkit that was about a different kind of drink.
Okay.
And so
like me.
A writer could write another another book in the same format.
Yep.
Kind of digs into the different ways of drinking a drink or different ingredients or different styles.
Yeah.
Something other than beer.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see if something like that got released in the next year or so.
Mm. That would be interesting.
Hypothetically. Mm.
What's success for this book?
What does success look like?
Yeah, what does it look like to you? Is success getting it published and having it right now, but even before no one has got it? Is it all of your mates and everyone, as you said, buying a pre-copy?
So. When you're writing anything, for Crafty Pint, writing a book, whatever, you are sitting alone on your laptop. You've got this little tunnel vision on your screen.
Yep.
It's a Word document. It doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
You've got no idea how people respond to it. People obviously aren't reading at the time. By the time, if I'm in Crafty Pint, I hit publish with this, I send it away to someone, you're not getting any of that feedback. It must be like a brewer, finishing their beer off, and then they send it off to packaging and it goes out the door.
And you get one Untappd review.
But even before that, they have no idea what it's like. When you get someone bail you up at the bar and tell you, hey, that beer, I could taste all those citrusy notes you were talking about. It's great. I told my friend to drink it and we drank it and we loved it.
Yep.
That must be so satisfying for a brewer. And I know that because that's what I love about writing.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all that often.
Yep.
But hearing when people actually enjoyed something about it.
Yep.
They learned something from it. They laughed at it. They showed their friends. I saw someone reading my book, a copy of my book the other day, and I saw them giggling. I'm like, oh, that's really fun. Like something I read actually hit them.
Yeah, nice.
To me, that's what I love. Making money is a bonus, but it lets you keep doing it for longer. Yeah. But people actually enjoying it, that's what I sort of live for.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going to step back a bit. It's still about this, but it sort of goes on that tangent that you just said, like that about the brewer, and you get to know. You did recently get some feedback back on your writing.
Oh, that
you
was
won
fun.
An award at the Avers for your media award.
Yeah.
Did you know you were up for it? Or did James just put you in?
No, so I put it in. You enter yourself. I think it was the third year I'd entered it. Last year I got a commendation or something like that. So I didn't know I was in it.
Yep.
And the day before, I got a text message from a guy I didn't know at the awards.
Yep.
He said, are you coming to the awards dinners? Because you're one of the final candidates for this award. And it's in Melbourne and I'm in Brisbane and my wife's pregnant.
And it's expensive.
So I said, actually, I won't be down there. He's like, okay, I'll send you an email. In the email, he's like, okay, well, you've won, so can you send us an acceptance video?
Yeah.
So I knew about it the day before.
Yeah, okay.
That was really exciting.
Because James and I don't know, all your other crew were there, but they had the paddle pop with your face cut out on it to sit there.
Yeah, so. Will did that. I sent that to him. It was very, very happy for him to do that. a little doppelganger for the night.
Almost like the big-ass posters they have at the cricket and stuff with the... Yes.
If he could have had like a full morph suit covered in my face, that would have been better. But other than that.
Do you reckon something like this and that, like, are you wanting more accolades or it doesn't matter?
I couldn't care less about the accolades.
You just love the beer and talking about the beer and...
Not to downplay the award, like, I did love winning it. Even better was people coming out of the woodwork after that and saying, not just congratulations, but like, congratulations, yes, I love reading your beer write-ups.
Yeah.
Or, I'm so glad you won this because that article you wrote about XYZ, I found that really fun and I shared it with all my friends.
Yeah.
That was the bit I really enjoyed. Because like I said, you never get that.
I actually looked at one of the awards that you won it for, the articles, was the Medusa Perseus. And Perseus, and I was like, I had something to do with that. Well done.
Yeah. And that's, go back to like, the stupid fun of the Crafty Pint. I'm like, who else would pay me to write a friggin' epic poem about a beer? Like Greek mythology inspired epic poem. Like, I loved it. That's part of what Crafty is, and so I can have that sort of creative fun, that creative license.
Yeah.
That, it does talk about beer, but it talks about it in a way that's not just clinical, it's not just picking apart like a wine expert might do with a wine.
Yeah.
But like having fun. Beer's having fun, right?
It's supposed to be fun, right?
When you talk about it.
Yeah. Mate, that's pretty good chat. Is there anything you want to say that I haven't asked? Like, sometimes I know that I don't ask all the questions. I'm not an interviewee.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
And I'm not a very good interviewer sometimes, I'm sure. Is there anything that I've missed? What do you reckon?
I don't know. I just...
If you were to interview me, what would the end of this, what would you say to yourself to go,
all right. Yeah, look, honestly, I think just the whole point of writing this book, I think, is probably not too dissimilar in some way to what we're doing right here.
Yep.
It's, how is this something other than just a clinical, transfer of information? It's a fun conversation, right?
Oh, yeah, it's been great,
And, we can have a stupid conversation over beers with you know, people drinking in the background and trolleys going past making all kinds of noise.
That's Joel's problem with the noise.
That's right. But like, that's the thing, and that's what I think talking about beer should be. And when I talk about beer, when I write about beer for crafty or whatever, I'm like, I want people to enjoy it and have a good time, even more than I want people to learn new stuff. Because that's, I mean, you're going to learn stuff anyway, I think. Yeah. And good on you.
And if you enjoy it, you're more likely to learn
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. But it's not, every conversation doesn't have to be like, you know, making you go to become a brewer, like learning all the technical jargon and things.
Yep. Yeah.
You can just have a chat about the fun stuff, the stuff that's actually interesting to you.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, brewers appreciate that too. Sometimes you live in the world of, everything feels like work.
Yes, you can get stuck in the day-to-day.
Absolutely. When you stop and have like a dumb, fun, light chat about it, I think most of us have a better time.
Yeah, like, sit on the shitter and read a chapter.
Absolutely. Read it on the toilet, it's fine. I think that ship sailed now. You know, you put your beer on, use it as a freaking coaster.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah, I was worried about any wet things on the table before, and here you are putting a fucking wet beer. He's had too much of his beer, he's ruining his book. How many have you got? Have you got one?
I've got one. This is
oh, really?
Right now.
Yeah, okay.
I should be more careful with it.
Yeah. But are you gonna get one and like back steal it and like put it somewhere?
Frame it on the wall.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think so.
Like the boxer gloves over there that are...
I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, if my copy or other people's copy has got like friggin' beer stains on it and like chip grease on the fingers, like that's what it's for.
Yeah.
It's a toolkit, it's not a makeup brush.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, man. I think I'm out of questions. I think it's been a great chat.
Great. Yeah.
Mate, thanks so much for coming and chatting to us. Yeah. And cheers.
Always cheers.
Thanks very much. I can't wait to get my copy, and I look forward to seeing what the message is.
Yep. You're going to read it on the toilet, aren't you?
I'm going to read it on the dunny.
Absolutely, you are.
Cheers, guys.